All right, man. Listen, man. Listen. Yeah, I think WAC is the feds as well. See, here's the thing, man. And I definitely agree with Thundercat. Because when Nip was alive, nobody was saying nothing. WAC with his big mouth. You see how big his mouth is. When Nipsey was alive, he wasn't saying none of this shit. Nobody was coming at the homie with no side talk or trying to throw smut on his name or anything like that. You understand what I'm saying? If him and his baby moms was in, you know, they supposed to have been having like she supposed to be getting a train ran on her or something like that. Oh, she's married, Henry. All right? Bamboos, you better... Bamboos, you better watch Henry, nigga. He trying to get at your baby girl, you heard? But anyway, back to the subject, man. Niggas wasn't saying nothing because, you know, Nipsey was a real dude. He wasn't about that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? He don't portray himself to be a gangster or a killer. He was just about it. When it was time, he going to say, let's run that fade. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, he was definitely about his business. The niggas wasn't even talking shit. If WAC 100 was so tough, like how he portrayed himself to be, he would have been said something. And why he still haven't put out no goddamn tape yet? And I'm thinking it's supposed to be like he was, you know, and I say this respectfully, Nip's supposed to be like swore fighting or playing with somebody peanut butter or his peanut butter. Like you creating this atmosphere as if it was more than what it was. And it was only some, allegedly it was only some shit where he probably kissed his, you know, his baby moms in the mouth after they was doing what the fuck they was doing. Well, hey, that's him. If that was to be so, why would you make it more than what it is? Like it was basically challenging his manhood. My nigga Bamboo say she ain't got no. My nigga say, nigga, she ain't got no number, nigga. Talk your shit, Bamboos. And he's one of my snipers too, so you better be easy. So if he block you, I ain't got nothing to do with that. But nah, he good though. My nigga say, nigga, she ain't got no number. My nigga in a cut too. Shout out to Bamboo. Shout out to the Queen, Ms. Drew, man. And shout out to everybody in the building. Mega, I see you, homie. Let me just shout some of y'all out real quick. Let me put the number in, too. I see you, K-Bless. How you doing? Wagwan to Krieger, Black Cherry. Really Odd Kid, salute to you, man. I'll be seeing you on Instagram. Queen Kente Cloth. And yes, he is the liar, man. Samusa. Brando, I see you. Flower Bloom, how you? And let me see who else. I guess that's pretty much it. Kenethia. What's up, Kenethia? All right, Crazy KCD, Margo. Just want to shout some of y'all because y'all ain't have to be here. Y'all here. Moods was good. Anyway, goddammit. Let me play a little bit more on how, where we at? I got a lot of windows up. When Thundercat first met Nipsey, again, y'all, just want to give y'all the heads up. I'm not playing a video. Just going to hear the audio. The link to this full interview is in my description box right now. The No Jumper with Thundercat. And I reached out to Thundercat on, nigga, when I first did the Nipsey Hustle. You know what I mean? And God bless his soul, man. I wish he was still here, man. I was reaching out to him. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know he had an Instagram page, but I was reaching out to him for the longest. I can't get to him. You know, maybe he probably would have never did the interview anyway. Who knows? But I was reaching out. I definitely wanted to interview him. I got to listen to this whole interview myself. But let me just play. You always say my name on. How you? So what is it? Kenethia? Kenethia. 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 Listen. Look, what's his name? Noriega is rubbing off for me because he always talking about that dyslexic shit. It's all good. Maybe that shit rubbing off for me, man. But any motherfucking who, let's continue. Let me just play the audio of Thundercat. Let's go.
Was it a work ethic that you could identify or just an intelligence?
Hold on. I got to say this. Let's give a moment of silence for the late, great Nipsey Hussle, please. Rest in peace, King. And before I continue, yes, I just call you Renee, goddammit. Yeah, and the marathon continues. Yo, I don't know if anybody's seen the new documentary that just came out, I guess a few weeks ago. I just watched it when they first put it up. I forgot the name of it. The marathon continues, something like that. Whatever, with Black Sam, and they got the marathon week shit. It was a documentary on how Black Sam, after Nipsey's death, how they got different, you know, dispensaries and stuff like that. So Black Sam is really doing his fucking thing. Salute to him. That was a real great documentary, miniseries, like mini documentary. It was very sad at the same time, and it was very good, man. Like, yeah, Cultivate, man. Yo, if y'all haven't seen it, you know what I'm going to do. Let me do that now before it slip my mind. Hold on. Well, what's the name of the video? I'm going to play it for y'all, too. Fuck that. Yes, starts June 2nd. I already got that written down, man, Samusa. And I'm coming out. You know what I was doing with the Master P and C-Murder and the shit I did with J Master J, the little documentary, the little docu-series shit. I'm giving too much, but I'm doing that once every. I'm waiting for everything to be done, like in the you know, the trial and everything. So I'm definitely gonna go in with Nipsey. I'm not letting none of that shit go. So I'm gonna have my own mini documentary on my fucking guy Nipsey. So that's going to be done. That's already written in stone. So let me look that up right now. So I wanna play that for y'all. The Marathon Cultivate. Fucking great doc, man. Documentary, man. That shit was sad as hell, yo. Just give me a second. I'm trying to cue it up for everybody now. All right. Cultivate. Word up. Please, everybody, while you're in here, please hit that like button. If you haven't, please. And I had to watch it. This is the first time that I know Jehovah, because I say too much, man. Y'all know what happened. I was talking about the shirts a few years back. Guess who started getting shirts once I put it on, once I said it? You know, y'all know who it is. You don't have to put their name in there. What's up, Patricia? What the fuck I was saying? Goddamn. But anyway, goddamn it. I'm definitely going to play the documentary right after this. Thank y'all. Tuning in. Hold on. Before I do, my boy Brooklyn the Cali on the line. All right. So let me put him on the line, and then we're gonna continue with Thundercat, and then we're gonna look at the marathon cultivate. We got Brooklyn the motherfucking Cali. What's cracking?
What's cracking, my guy? Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir. Talk to me, man. What's up?
Man, everything Cowboy is saying is true. All these motherfuckers, that one particular motherfucker,
right,
didn't have shit to say until Nipsey got laid down, with all due respect.
Right.
I just don't understand why it's so many niggas that's dick-eating this nigga, pause, and running with what he's got going on, man. Like, it just seems like niggas don't have no integrity. Niggas don't have no kind of nothing, and they followers and shit, and that shit is weak. And, you know, he been trying to defame Nipsey from the beginning, talking about he ain't a legend, he ain't this,
right,
he ain't that. You mad because you could never be what that man was.
Right.
Even after he's gone in the flesh, his spirit's still stronger than you.
That's right. That's right.
And that's because he stood for something. And everybody that, even if you wasn't a fan of his music, you was a fan of his movement, because he was pushing peace, and he was pushing unity, not only for black, but for black and brown. He was trying to get this gangbanging shit the fuck out of here.
That's right.
And that's why, in my mind, that's why he not here no more, because peace don't make money. Violence make money. If we peaceful in the hood and shit, what do we need the police and shit for?
That's right.
We don't.
He, And he was pushing that hard, man. And from what I heard, when I the real sources that I had, some great sources in LA at that time, that like niggas was really mad because he was, you know, trying to bring that unity. Like, motherfuckers didn't even want that. So he was dealing with so many levels, his business, that property, police, the damn real estate investors, everything. And he's not fucking with police like somebody has, they say, that's trying to get information out of people. Not like that, but to bring some kind of like programs for the kids and all types of shit that this man was doing, the shit that we always boast and talk about what we should do, this man is doing, and he's not talking. He's laying the blueprint in real time as he's doing it, and niggas still hate it.
He was so loved in other niggas' hoods. He was going to other niggas' hoods, man. Chopping it up with the niggas that make moves in these other niggas' hoods, creating a safe space, trying to make peace. And they went and got a crash dummy from his own hood to take him out, man. And that's some bullshit. And that is kind of a microcosm of how black people do. When a nigga is up, all they do is go find the dumbest nigga they could find to bring him down. And it don't mean if they robbing him, if they killing him, if they putting smut on his name, whatever they can do to tarnish that man's reputation or remove him from this planet in the physical form. That's what we do. And that's why it's hard for us to move forward as a folk, because we are continuously cutting off our nose to spite our face. That's why we don't have no motherfucking leaders. That's
right.
A perfect example of why we don't have no leaders, because our own people don't give a fuck enough about us to make sure we okay. You
That's
know how
right.
they say protect the bag? This ain't even about a bag. Protect a motherfucker who ain't afraid to put their well-being on the line to try to put something more than some fucking designer clothes and some bitches and some bullshit.
Right.
We're talking about tangible shit. We're talking about real shit that he was pushing. Way
right.
beyond his music. Way beyond his store. You know what I'm saying? Like, and
right.
it's sad that he's not here in the physical anymore. The marathon will always continue because that's how strong the movement was. But I really, really hate that they were able to touch him, because he was so strong and it was so important for him to be here to continue that movement. Because even though we say the marathon continues, and we know it does, but
what?
Those other guys, they don't have the same they don't pack the same punches, Nip, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it you know, and salute to all the Slauson boys. Salute to All Money In. Salute to everybody involved. But they missed the head of that motherfucking monster, man, because he was the one.
Yeah.
He was the one, man.
He was the Xavier. Like, he was the visionary. Like, he foresaw, and he was so eloquent and broad with his thinking. He was so ahead of his time. That's why when Thundercat was just talking about you just try to diss like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Like, he was a real leader. He was leading by example. He wasn't trying to be everybody's leader. He was just putting his life on the line to show people the blueprint on what to do for people. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you cut off the head, the body falls. So with the All Money In, that's why I respect what you said. Respect to everybody in the All Money In, but they cut the head. They cut the head off the body.
And I'm going to keep it 100. Ever since he got killed, L.A. ain't been the same, bro. It been going up in L.A. ever since. This motherfucker been on fire. Niggas getting follow home robberies, gang banging, motherfucking murders. Man, it's this motherfucker on fire out here, man.
Nigga, I just seen a video. Three motherfuckers went up in that store, took all the makeup and all that shit. They said they've been here. They hit us up three times already.
Yeah, man. But you know what? You gotta let them take that shit though. Let them take it. Cause if I work there, let them take it. Y'all supposed to have insurance on all that shit. I'm not
right.
risking my life for none of that shit. Let them take that. I ain't gonna even lie. When I was about 16, I used to work in a shoe store, bro. And I knew why the Koreans hired me, because I was the face that looked like all other faces in the neighborhood.
Right.
A nigga that I knew came in there and stole some shoes. They looked at me like I was supposed to stop them. I said, number one, fuck no. Number two, fuck no. Number three, fuck no. I live over here, nigga. You don't. This is shit. Fuck them shoes.
Fuck them goddamn
shoes. Fuck them
shoes,
man. Fuck them shoes. You know what?
Cool.
Like, you kind of know why they set up shop and they hire familiar faces to try to make sure it stay calm in their business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we know what they be doing and shit, but I'm not, you know, when I was 16, I wanted my paper, so I was still going to work.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
But yeah, man. Salute to Nipsey, man. He's so dearly missed, man.
For
you know
real.
What I'm saying? And, you know, eventually we probably will have somebody that come with the same mentality. We just don't know how long it's going to be, man, because it took a while for that to even turn into what it turned into. Because
this
you
shit,
think
this
about
shit.
Where Nip came from.
Right. Go ahead.
And what he turned to before he was taken away from this earth. You know? He was touching down, touching bases with major motherfuckers, man. And we ain't just talking about hood shit. We talking about business. We talking about music. We talking about the interactive store. That was the first store of its kind.
That's right. His store,
you know,
was
what I'm
the
saying?
Yeah.
When he got the STEM shit going on in the Crenshaw district. That man, he wasn't talking about that shit before he got into that shit. So, of course, like you said, he was a thinker, and he was thinking ahead of the curve, man. He was ahead of the curve. And, to me, his music was dope, and I was fucking with that dude, man. I've been to a couple shows, you know what I'm saying? He was a cool nigga, and it's always the cool niggas that get the planet, man. Always.
And the shit that bothers me, like what I see on the screen right now, the higher video, which I love. His second verse always, like, I get goosebumps every time. I really love Nipsey, man. But for this video shoot, man, when niggas, and I'm talking about the niggas that's on his team, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They knew what this man was about and what he was trying to do. He does this video shoot, and niggas is trying to shut the shit down. Like, jealous
hating
ass.
Niggas.
Just hating.
Jealous ass.
Are you gaining jealous for?
Jealous ass nigga that been gangbanging since the motherfucking early 80s. Hating on the young nigga because this nigga,
man.
Because this nigga done surpassed you, nigga. He everything that you wanted to be. And you can't stand it.
And then at one point they was cool. You see the fucking the little videos where he's talking about him in front of him and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like
Nip always paid respect to that man. But you know what? He another nigga that wasn't shit until Nip died. We don't even gotta say his name. He another
exactly.
nigga.
Exactly. Don't put it in the chat. You already know. Was already known. No need to be said.
He another nigga that wasn't shit out here on these internets until Nip was taken away, man. These niggas, these old-ass niggas is suckers. And they jealous. They act like bitches. That's the bottom line. Fuck-ass niggas, man. That shit weak as a motherfucker, man. Weak.
Right, man.
But I ain't call for nothing, man. I'm just tired of I'm tired of niggas with these guns. I'm tired of niggas attacking the black and brown folks, my nigga. Man, I'm tired of this shit, man. Every time I turn around, man, tired of this motherfucking Constitution. I'm tired of the motherfucking Second Amendment rights. I'm tired of all that shit. That's it, man. Tired of that shit.
Me too, man. Hey, we gonna chat more about it, man.
Bullshit,
call back
man.
In the middle of the show, nigga. You already know.
For sure, my nigga. Stay up. One.
My nigga Brooklyn, the motherfucking Cali. And it seemed like people was kind of, not all of y'all, for those who understand, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to put the name in the chat, Mr. Illuminated. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I say, but you have to understand something. But, all right, see, now you after I say what's already understood don't need to be said or typed, but you want to do it anyway because it's public. You got to have respect for a person's platform. The only thing I got to do is just go along with the flow. It's really not that hard. So at the end of the day, all right, well, call in. But at the end of the day, like I said, you don't have to do all that. We all know what it is. Why I put the name in it? I don't give a fuck about any of the motherfuckers anyway. But I'm just saying, man. You understand what I'm saying? Any motherfucker who, let me put the number back in here. All right, let me put the number back in. Oh shit, hold on. Let me put the number back in. I'm a, like I said, I'm going to play. Let me see, how long is it? Do y'all want me to play the documentary right now or finish playing the Thundercat interview when he's talking about when he first met Nip? Because I'm pretty sure we all know how he first met Nip. So y'all let me know. Who you telling to shut up? Where's my snipers at? Can my snipers help me out? Headshot these niggas. Mega, Jehovah Thickness, Manson, get these bitch motherfuckers out of here. Please do me that favor. Everybody, please hit that like. It's not going to hurt anybody. If y'all would like to donate to the platform, because I know it's been hard for y'all to show some love to the channel. And if you would like to, please do. I will gladly appreciate it. All right, if y'all want to hear the doc, that's even better. I'd rather that anyway. All right, so let me get to the documentary. Let me share my screen. Where we at? Rest in peace, the motherfucking Nip, man. Hating ass niggas, y'all. Fucking shame, y'all. Really a fucking shame, y'all. That's fucked up. You niggas really think they're going to see that kind of success like he did. Maybe, but it's not going to be authentic. We already know. We know what it took to get there. You dig? So, it is what the fuck it is, man. Let's get it, man. Rest in peace, Nip. Much love to the family. Mama Hustle. Everybody. You know what I'm saying? His daughter getting real big. You know, so salute to her and God bless her and everything. I'm going to mute my mic. Let me do that now. All right, let's get it, y'all. All right, thanks, Mega.
For you to fully understand the importance of this Marathon Collective, First Store, and the Marathon Cultivation brand, you really got to go back and look at how much work Nip been putting in, you know, how involved marijuana has been. You know, you got to go back to the spots that we've had. You got to go back to, you know, Nip always being a connoisseur of marijuana and wanting the best of the best. You got to go back to, you know, Nip creating his own strand, you know, in the streets and branding it as Marathon OG. You got to go back and you got to look at the deals and negotiations that have been done. I look at the spots that we done had and, you know, everything that led up to this one point right now with us having a legitimate licensed store. And once you realize that, you see how big and how important this is and what this really means.
Run down quarter up. I mean, this really was my foundation, you know.
Slauson Crenshaw, man. We used to be right there 24/7, man. Pioneers Pizza, go get our slices of pizza. Everybody used to hang right there, you know.
I know some of y'all into it. I just had to think about it real quick. I'll say this. I don't know if I'm going to play it all because I don't know what may happen for playing that content. So I want y'all to look, type. It's called the Marathon Cultivation Documentary. All right. So, you know, I'm just trying to be, you know, very easy on this. But, you know, hopefully everything is good. But, you know, just to give y'all the heads up. All right. So, let's see.
It's be cracking, man. You know what I'm saying? We would just wake up every day. We'd meet up. The Shell gas station was structured different at that time. And, you know, probably like six or seven of us, we'll meet up and sell our little trees. You know what I mean? Make our little swerves every morning.
Y'all see right now, this is a functional gas station. Normal, like, law-abiding citizens working and pumping gas. Come back on 7 o'clock. Sitting like, we got big money on the clock. We really rich roll, my nigga. You feel me? We got big rollies and big hunters, right? You feel me? Average street nigga on the floor, so like, ride like that, you know?
We used to be up there hustling every day. You know what I'm saying? Homies hustling CDs, t-shirts, you know what I'm saying? You know, we'd be up there kicking and shooting dice with each other. Then next thing you know, we'd be in the alley squabbling, you feel me? And then we'd right back in the parking lot, cool hustling again, you feel me?
I got money on the street for a while. I wasn't making $1 million in the street. I ain't gonna tell that long. We got hundreds of thousands in the street, though, me and my brother. We did that at an early age. I was on Crenshaw and Slauson, I was on Bryanhurst. I was on 10th Avenue, it was my block. I had my whole hood on smash at a point in time. Everybody was just getting their work for me.
Bro had his hand a little bit of everything, you know. Smooth operator type guy. He was all up and down that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And he was seriously about getting the money to, you know, to do the studio time, you know, to get the studio equipment. So that's what the grind was more or less about.
Like, I always had a passion for rap music. And I was always trying to create the situation where I could do this full time.
It became to a point where we was hustling for studio time. We all was hustlers, you know what I'm saying? We all had that hustler mentality, but just when we got together, knowing like, all right, this is what you on, this is what I'm on, you know what I'm saying? It just made it make sense, you know what I'm saying? Just like Fash and Sam, you know what I'm saying? Like, Nip and Fats was like this at first. And then, you know, Fast Hustle, the way Sam hustled, they both was cold hustlers, so they end up hustling together, you feel what I'm saying? That's how that went. And then me and Nip started hustling together, you feel me? And I knew Fats before Nip, you know what I'm saying? From just back in the day, like in the day, you feel me? So that's how that went.
You know, we had a room, nobody at the house. Nip bring Fats to the house, and so I see Nip and Fats grinding, hustling. I'm like, man, who is it? I'm like, no, this is my boy. And, you know, I end up liking and respecting Fast off the top because he was very close with my brother, and I always knew that Fast gonna have pro back. Once Hustle really got studio equipment and started really being at the house more, recording music, and that's when Stone would be around, and then him and Stone.
All right, hold on. I know y'all in the groove of it. I'm gonna play a little bit because I don't know what's gonna happen. So I'm really trying to be like cautious. That's why I be deleting shit after the live and shit like that. But anyway, what I want to do as well, I'm gonna give it a couple of more minutes. But I know a lot of y'all probably didn't even see my interview that I did with Cuzzy Capone, who was this people. Yeah, I just seen this picture in it. He's in this documentary anyway. I would like to play the interview that I did with him. That's a great interview. I did an interview with Cuzzy Capone. I mean, Weed Dog, who was Nipsey's man. Shout out to Cesar for hooking all that shit up. I gotta get back in touch with Cesar too. So salute to Cesar. So would y'all like to see that interview that I did with Cuzzy Capone? It was really deep, man. Like really, really good interview. Please press 1. So we definitely gonna celebrate Nipsey while we on this journey here. Let me know now because I really have to be careful on playing people's stuff at the moment. So I'm really trying to be easy. Sorry for putting y'all in that zone. You understand what I'm saying? So I need to be very cautious. He spoke on Cuzzy Capone. What did he say, Mansa Musa? This is the link to the interview right there. The documentary. All right. So for me to make sure my channel is good, let me just play my interview. Okay. Let me just play the interview. I know y'all going to enjoy that. So let me do that right now. Please hit that like button, y'all. Please hit that like button. Please show some love to the platform. You love to donate to the platform. Please show some love. You said they're both losers. Okay. Oh no. Nipsey was a criminal though. Listen, you know what? I'm not even going to give you any warnings. Do me a favor, y'all. My snipers, oh no, needs to be, you know what I mean? Headshot snipers again. Y'all know what time it is. Please. Where we at? Let's get it right here. This is 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Shout out to Cuzzy Capone, man. Let me mute my mic. Let's get it. Y'all going to enjoy it. Y'all really going to enjoy it. For those who haven't seen it, please check it out. All right? Let's go.
This picture here?
This nigga the truth. That's in that back room, bro. Where that I'm talking about. That's some of the first days.
Wow.
And that's how he used to make me feel. That look on my face every time he said something. Mm. You know? And I cherished him. You know? I did my best to just teach him what I know.
Right.
And tell him about this shit because I was already going through it. So, you know. I just feel bad, man. I feel like, I don't know, personally, I feel like I expected a lot more. And I didn't.
How did you meet Nip and how long y'all known each other?
Met Nip in 03, I believe. I believe that was 03. Because I just came home from prison in 02. And we would just talk about it every night. And one day I was standing outside, to make a long story short, and Nip came walking down the street with two of his other childhood partners, which is Ronald Styles and Rent Paul.
Okay.
You know, and we introduced each other. I seen him. What made me say something to him is Rollo had an NPC under his arm.
Oh, wow.
So,
drum machine.
You know, light bulb went off my head, like, these young niggas must do music or something.
Right.
Like, how the hook is. Because I was at the time where I was so thirsty to do some music. I needed to do anything. You know, my career hadn't even started yet. I was just trying to figure some shit out, just as life.
Right.
And I ended up connecting with them, man, that day. That same day, they walked to Rainbow House, got the rest of that shit, came back, and set that shit up in the back where I was. And from that night forward, we was making records.
Mm-hmm.
Rollo knew how to work all the equipment.
Yo, somebody get that JT the Illuminator out of here. Headshots, please. All that extra side after neck talk is really unnecessary, family. It's really unnecessary. Please, one of my snipers, headshot. No timeout. Get them out of here, please. Thank you.
So we snatched all the plastic off of that shit and got cracked. And immediately, you know, I knew Nip was like, I'm like, this nigga's the West Coast Nas. Because before the gang shit, see what people don't realize, they never heard his music. A lot of people never heard his music before the 60s shit. You know what I'm saying? But before he was deeply intertwined in the street shit, you know, he still had the same fucking creativity and the same fucking bars. Mm. From day one, it was just more on some militant, you know, big wordy shit, black power shit, still a message.
Right.
You know, it was always a message. But it was just minus all the
glam like the Crips. You know what I'm saying? But I knew from then, like, this little nigga. This gonna be my little nigga, this nigga.
This picture here?
This nigga the truth. That's in that back room, bro, where that I'm talking about. That's some of the first days.
Wow.
And that's how he used to make me feel. That look on my face every time he said something.
Mm.
You know? And I cherished it. You know? I did my best to, just teach him what I know.
Right.
And tell him about this shit because I was already going through it. So, you know. I just feel bad, man. I feel like, I don't know, personally, I feel like I could have did a lot more. And I did. I kind of just let him, after a certain point, I kind of just, I had to let him fend for himself because he was taking things into his own hands.
Ooh. Sorry about that. Where we at? Yeah, sorry about that. I mean, yeah, he didn't know him, but he's seen him before. So that's why, you know, I only played this short clip because, as you can see, he was he was crying. Like, this is like literally almost like a month, maybe 2 months after Nipsey died. So this is a fresh interview after Nipsey died. So he was still going through it. Nigga was still hurt. He was hurting. You know what I mean? Like, he was hurting and the nigga broke down. And you know what I'm saying? Even, you know, before we even went live, too. Well, I mean, before we even recorded, did the interview. You know what I mean? So niggas was hurt behind that. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of things that I can't put on record that we, you know, that we spoke about and things like that. Even with the homie Weed Dog. You know what I'm saying? So there's a whole hour interview that we did. You know what I'm saying? So, oh yeah, I got you here. I gotta do this shit on my phone, and then I'll make you a sniper. You know, so I don't know what do y'all want to see the interview, because you know it's all about how y'all feel. So I gotta cater to y'all. And you know what I'm saying? Please get that like button. Jehovah or somebody, how many likes it is? Matter of fact, let me look this shit up on my own. You know what I mean? Please hit the like button or something, y'all. You know what I mean? Okay, let me see how many of y'all is in here that hit the like button. All right? I'm going to make you a sniper right now, love. Right now, Kia. And Mansa Musa. I'm doing it right now on my phone. And Mansa Musa, I'm giving you a sniper rifle. All right? So, yeah, so... All right, and 118 likes. Come on, y'all. Y'all can do better than that. You know what I mean? If y'all would like this, hit that like. Show some love to the platform. Please do. I mean, let me know. Do y'all want to see that interview or what y'all want me to do? Yeah, Eric Shitty Cuz was definitely a pawn. And at the end of the day, even though I said it was that, listen, I'm going to break all of it down. Y'all don't even know what's coming, son. I'm going to break this shit all the way down. Believe me. I just got to wait till everything come out first. I don't have to keep doing this shit again. So I know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm going to break all this shit down greatly. All right? So y'all know how I give it up. So, yeah, it's definitely deep, but I was thinking it was the, the property zone motherfuckers who wanted it. They could have been behind it, too, because they have the power. You understand what I'm saying? But from what I heard from a source out there, who kept it $100 million with me, is that certain motherfuckers, like I said before, what's understood don't need to be said or typed. Niggas call Shitty Cousin. Let me just say allegedly, because I don't know. I'm on the other side. I'm on the other coast. But niggas that fuck with me from L.A., definitely gave me some vital information. Niggas gave him that call. Niggas was giving Nipsey quote unquote chances to to do whatever that they wanted him to do, and to move and all types of shit. Like, cause niggas didn't want to see them thrive and coming to video shoots, try to shut shit down, like just hitting ass niggas, giving them warnings and shit. Like, allegedly niggas made that phone call. You right, Montrese. That's why, you know, how a motherfucker just come from hours and hours away just to come get a fat burger. Get the fuck out of here. It don't make sense, family. It doesn't logically or rationally make sense. You know what I mean? So, since y'all ain't saying shit, I'm going to play the whole interview. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to play most of it, but I really think y'all will really enjoy this interview for those who haven't seen it. You know what I mean? Those who've seen it, you know, hey, if y'all want to call in real quick as well too, let me put the number in there real quick, all right? So I'll take a call in the process of playing this interview. Give me 1 second, y'all. All right. What's in this? You already know, Montrese. All right. So that's the number right there if you want to call in. All right. Where we at? Only you can make me happy. I don't know why that shit in my mind. It just, that beat just sounded right now. I don't know why the fuck. But that's that shit. Maybe, yeah. Only you can make me happy. Y'all know I can sing, so don't even play yourself. Y'all know how I give it up, nigga. You know, I sing just like Jerome, nigga. Get them likes up. What up, Rakim? I see you, son. Shit, hopefully, you know, I'm about to say the wrong motherfucking thing. All right, so I'm about to play it right now. Please get those likes up. All right, let's go, Nick.
AYZAR and the number one. Shout out to him for making this happen. That's my big bro. And he's been A1 since fucking day one. I can't say nothing bad. I can't say nothing wrong about that, dude. So shout out to my nigga, Cesar. All right, so with that being said, man, I got...
Yeah, I know I'm something else. Let me take this call. Please make it quick, too. Area code 567. What's good? You on the line, family? Make it quick as possible. Thank you, family. What's up?
What up, Big Mike?
How you doing, brother?
Not good, man. You know, every time I see some Nipsey shit, I start feeling the way. You know, it's you know, it's messed up when you can't really, like I said, what's understood don't need to be explained, man. It's right. Messed up when people can't really say too much or warn people, but people just gotta wake up, man. Like, it's deeper than rap, it's deeper than the gang shit, it's deeper than that.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the way that it happened, I mean, if you look at the video again, like, for the people that ain't see it or don't want to see it, and that's understandable because I didn't want to see it either, but I seen it. He had to make sure that he was up out of here because whatever phone calls he got to do that, he knew if he didn't get the job done, he was going to be next.
Right.
That's it, man. That's all I'm going to say, man. I ain't going to say too much. I got too much respect for you, bro. So,
hey, man, you know, I appreciate it, man. You already know. So thank you, King. I appreciate your call, family. Salute.
Peace.
Shout out to Rakim the Great for showing love to the platform. You know what I mean? If it ain't going to kill y'all, hey, Miss Tip, hello, Steady Mob and all that shit. You said Black Cherry can make you a sniper again. All right, I see what I can do. Black Cherry, your ass is crazy. We all know something is, you know, the Mag Dog bear cans. Like, you something. Like, you really something. You know, I fuck with you, though, but you MD 2020 drink, okay, in a brown paper bag. But we going to finish watching this goddamn documentary, goddammit. I mean, you know, this interview. All right, let's go, y'all.
Got the pleasure, man, of, you know, hey, man, this man don't need no introduction, but for those who do, it's the homie. Motherfucking Cuzzy Capone. What's really good?
What's good, bro?
All right.
What's up with it, fam? Chilling, man. Port Lodge, Slauson Avenue.
Facts. That's what I'm talking about. Brooklyn to L.A., man. Just for those who don't know, I'm wearing all blue. I put the L.A. hat on. You know what I mean? That Brooklyn to Cali love, man. And definitely for the homie Nick, man. Rest in paradise, man.
That's what's up, Long Live Hustle.
Facts. Let's get into it. So for those who may not know, please give us a little background of who you are, family.
I'm Cousin Capone, Slauson Boy original, all money and artist. And, you know, I come from South Central, Los Angeles, up the road in the 60s, born and raised. It's pretty much...
Okay.
And as far as the introduction.
Okay. All right. And we definitely want to get into the Roller 60s thing as well. So we're going to get into a little bit of that. All right. But you were a part of a group called the Slauson Boys, man. And, you know, you had the roller windows up, you know, bands.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about, you know, the Slauson Boys, man. How'd that come about?
Slauson Boys, actually, Slauson Boy was a crew of blacks and individuals that came off of Slauson back in the day in the 70s that ended up, that was like offspring from Black Panthers and shit like that.
Okay.
I took Slauson Boy and turned it into what the world knows it now as the group of which I created with Nipsey and myself, and we started, you know, pretty much calling ourselves the Slauson Boys because we was raised off of Slauson as well,
right,
but further up on the west side. So we just kind of took the name and just ran with it, bro. Start kind of like, you know, making music and trying to make a name for ourselves with that.
Okay. All right. And you do have you had Crack Babies 1 and 2, you know.
Definitely.
And let's talk about that, the latest part 2 project that you, put out. Let's talk about that.
I dropped Crack Babies 1 and 2 with a childhood friend of mine, Baby Weedog. And we set out to kind of just, you know, give him our story of our era growing up more in the 80s, 90s. You know, when the crack was really evident and prompt. And just try to explain our view from that side that people didn't really get to hear or see or understand. I know it relates to, you know, ghettos everywhere.
Right.
So I thought of that concept to just kind of try to tap in more with everybody. Instead of like my solo project, American Hustler, which having the Hustler in it kind of segregated my music from the rest of the world because it was like music from a 60s point of view instead of just, you know, relating to everybody. So I came with the Crack Baby concept to kind of fill that void, fill that space.
Right.
And I added my homeboy as a partner in it, more like not necessarily like a group, that wasn't really our intention, but more like just somebody that I know was there with me that also has the talent and skill to portray that picture and show that vision, and I incorporated him for that.
Okay.
And we're doing pretty good with it, man. A lot of the feedback like it, you know. I get more responses and, you know, more feedback and acknowledgements from that actual project that my previous solo projects that I was putting out, titled American Hustler, which had great music on it too. It just, like I said, still kind of segregating for the rest of the city and making everybody come in, you know, and support it, because it still was tied to the gang, the title.
Right.
And for the listeners, so for those, you know, the ADHD motherfuckers that want to get to the meat and potatoes, you know, because some people don't really know his background. So I speak about him first so that the people know who he is first and then get to Nipsey. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how the interview is going to flow. Show people who he is, his background, how he met Nip, and then the seriousness of what happened to Nip. So I'm just giving y'all some little context before y'all start having short circuits. But let's continue.
Not to cut you off, but your screen kind of froze out. I don't know if it's on my end or what.
Screen froze. Check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, we're also working on part three. I'm about to drop part three in October. I don't have a specific release date, but finishing up the records now, and it's actually the biggest project I think we did today as far as the Crack Baby series. A lot of big records, a lot of good music, a lot of universal music, a lot of inspirational tracks, you know, just showing elevation and the versatility.
Right.
As well as, you know, you're going to continue to smell the crack smoke, you're going to continue to see the picture. But just in a more relevant, in a more elegant way every time, trying to raise the bar.
Absolutely. Any features on that?
No, not right now. We don't, but we do plan on having a couple of features from a couple of hometown guys.
Hold on. I apologize again. Y'all know I'm kind of special, right? What I forgot to ask him in this interview, because Crenshaw album is my shit. I still listen to it to this fucking day, y'all. I forgot to even speak to him about the song he did with Nipsey and Rick Ross. That shit is hard. And Cuddy Capone can spit, y'all. He can spit, too. So to be honest, I think he got both of them on the track, to be honest. Now, Nipsey fucking definitely fucked it up. But Cuddy Capone held his own weight, too. I'm going to keep it a bean. I forgot to ask him that in this interview, and it bothers me. It just came to me now that I even forgot to ask him about that, because Crenshaw album has always been my shit. And Don't Take Days Off is my favorite song in that whole album. I still play that shit to this day, and I might play it tonight. Rest in peace, Nip.
Mr. Rob, a couple of buddies we got from the East Coast, my nigga Winkle Oak. We're expecting to have him on the project.
Okay.
And, you know, not much, though. Very few, because I'm still in the process of showcasing me and Weed Off, because I'm still in the process of building fans and followers too, so I don't want to really flood it, you know, with a lot of different vocals and voices.
Right.
There's a lot of talent over here, a lot of people I can reach out to, but I'm still in the process of building myself.
Right.
So I'm just trying to keep it, you know, keep it subtle, but potent, you know.
There was a song called The Weather. It was with you and Rick Ross and the homies, the beloved Nip, man. That song was dope.
My stupid ass forgot that I did ask him.
In the world, man.
You know I'm special. I forgot. I asked him.
Appreciate it, bro.
You know, how did that come about, like, if anything?
Nip called me to the studio one night and told me he had a record for me to get on, that he was going to put Ross on. I asked Ross to get on, and I was excited as fuck. I shot straight down there and laid my verse.
Right.
And Nipsey laid his verse. It was at Marathon Studios downtown. And I guess that night, Nip sent the record back to Ross. And Big Homie took flight and sent it right back the next morning. The next morning, Nip had the record back. And he hit me like, bro, I'm sorry, sent the record back. This shit is fire. I'm gonna send it to you. Ooh, man, I'm about to cry when he sent me that shit, because it was just not really out of happiness, but just more out of like, you know, me and them, out of everybody, was like the most musical as far as intact with everything. You know, really had people we looked up to, and for kids, you know, Jay and Face,
right?
You know, Pac and Snoop, you know, M, all the legends and all the real lyricists, you know, even down to like Styles and Lox and Jada and Sheep. Like, niggas really admired these niggas from like day one. Right. So we always had a passion for like more lyrical side of it.
Right.
Even though we was coming from Los Angeles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't want to just rap about palm trees and lowriders and shit. That wasn't our work to us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas that really like, you know, because we always followed the best. We always looked up to those people. Grew up on that shit.
Right.
I told Dre that at the party, Grammy Nod party that Puma took from Nipsey. I told him, man, I said, man, we really, you know, your music helped us. Help raise us in the crack spots, and, you know. We running for the bullies. We lived the hard knock life. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Biggie shit. You know? Gangsta the Gentleman. Nigga really out here gangbanging to that shit. So, it was just different for us musically, and we always wanted to pretty much stand out as far as whatever we did musically.
And I'm glad you said that about, you know, the bars and, you know, just making sure when y'all write, you know, your pen game is authentic. So, and that's an automatic good segue to my next question, because the song Slauson, I'm not going to lie, homie, every bar, every word you said in that song was A1.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
Every word in that shit is A1. So that's,
I appreciate that, bro.
I even got that in my car, so I play that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's on my CD. I play that shit all the time in my motherfucking car. So that shit is dope. So,
and it's funny, some of the shit I was relating to on that record, just naturally coming from where we come from and just knowing how this shit go.
Right.
So I recorded that record like maybe 3 or 4 months before bro even passed.
Right.
But it was so relevant to what happened. When he passed, it made the record like just special as fuck to me. Now when I hear it, it's like I don't even hear it the same like that I used to hear it in after, you know, when I did it.
Yeah, right.
It's different. It's like I painted the whole picture of what happened.
Mm.
3-4 months before it happened. You know, it's definitely a song. It's hard for me to listen to now. I listen to it still. Like if somebody else played, but I haven't really played it personally. That shit crazy.
Yeah, man. Oh, because it's gonna. These is my next questions, but before I go to the next question, that song is fucking fire. So everybody, if you haven't heard it, please go put in Cuzzy Capone's Slauson. That shit is fire.
Appreciate that, bro.
Fucking
appreciate
talk.
That.
All right, now. How did you meet Nip, and how long y'all known each other?
Met Nip in 03, I believe. I believe that was 03, because I just came home from prison in 02. And I was selling dope and pills in a spot on Danger the whole year, the rest of the year, 02, till I discharged on parole. Then I moved back on the block to Granny's. Mm. I was really kind of doing bad. I wasn't really doing bad. I was just kind of at a flat bottom pace, you know?
Right.
So I moved back on the block and met a guy named Dexter Brown that had moved on the block that I grew up on. He had moved on the block since I had been gone. And when I moved back, I met him. And he kind of kind of took me in so I wouldn't have to, you know, be all in grandma's coming in late and shit.
Right.
On her teeth and them. They weren't having that shit. They didn't like all that shit. I was smoking in the bathroom, trying to blow the shit out the window, all that type of weird shit I was going through.
Right.
You know, and they took me in and let me start, you know, sleeping in this back house. He had a back house that was kind of set up like a little baby apartment with a bathroom and a kitchen. But he had a lot of studio equipment that he wasn't using. He's from Trinidad, so he wasn't really familiar with it. He's a photographer, you know, so he wasn't really familiar with the buttons of keyboards, you know, doing all that shit. So I stayed back there with him maybe a month. And we would just talk about music with the shit with plastic covers all on top of the shit. Like the keyboard, the cord, everything that covers on, we wouldn't even use it. We would just talk about it every night. And one day I was standing outside, to make a long story short, and Nip came walking down the street with two of his other childhood partners, which is Ronald Styles and Rand Paul.
Okay.
And we introduced each other. I seen him. What made me say something to him is Rollo had an NPC under his arm.
Oh, wow.
So,
drum machine.
You know, light bulb went off in my head, like, these young niggas must do music or something.
Right.
Let me holler at these niggas. Because I was at the time where I was so thirsty to do some music. I needed to do anything. You know, my career hadn't even started yet. I was just trying to figure some shit out, just as life.
Right.
And I ended up connecting with them, man, that day. That same day, they walked to Rainbow House, got the rest of that shit, came back, and set that shit up in the back where I was. And from that night forward, we was making records. Rollo knew how to work all the equipment. So we snatched all the plastic off of that shit and got cracked. And immediately, you know, I knew Neff was like, I'm like, this nigga's the West Coast Lines. Because before the gang shit, see what people don't realize, they never heard his music. A lot of people never heard his music before the 60s shit. You know what I'm saying? But before he was deeply intertwined in the street shit, you know, he still had the same fucking creativity and the same fucking bars. From day one, it was just more on some militant, you know, big wordy shit. Black power shit, still a message.
Right.
You know, it was always a message. But it was just minus all the glamour and the crip shit. You know what I'm saying? But I knew from then, like, this little nigga. This gonna be my little nigga, this nigga.
This picture here?
This nigga the truth. That's in that back room, bro. Where that I'm talking about. That's some of the first days. And that's how he used to make me feel. That look on my face every time he said something.
Mm.
You know? And I cherished it. You know? I did my best to, just teach him what I know.
Right.
And tell him about this shit because I was already going through it. So, you know. I just feel bad, man. I feel like, I don't know, personally, I feel like I could have did a lot more. And I didn't. I kind of just let him, after a certain point, I kind of just, I had to let him fend for himself because he was taking things into his own hands. So I couldn't really, you know, once you become a man, it's like,
right.
what else can I do? I can't do nothing but teach you what I know, and hopefully you will, you know, stay on the right path or find a path for you that, you know, is good for you. And he did. He did. I mean, who's to say he did? He found his path, maybe rough in the beginning, but he found his path, and he was on it, conquered all his obstacles. I've never seen a kid that, I mean, even while he's gone, it's like he's still conquering shit, diploma shit, dropping, you know, climbed every brick wall that was still in front of him.
Right.
You know, we climb a lot. Some shit knock us down, though. We got to get back up.
Absolutely.
You know, hustle. Hustle wouldn't let nothing lock him down. Nothing, man. He climbed every wall. Every wall that was put before him.
This is the interview that I did with Cousin Capone, I think like 2 to 3 months, a couple of months after Nipsey's death. I just hit up my boy Ant. I'm going to see what he going to say. I just hit a Weed Dog, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to see what he going to say, see if he could call in. And I'm going to, I'm going to try to see if I still got his number. Damn, what's his name? Oh my God, what's the OG man, the OG nigga that was how the fuck I'm forgetting his name? Oh my God, I just seen his fucking the nigga that was with Snoop, the OG nigga, he's from Long Beach, the OG nigga. Why am I forgetting his name? Yeah, oh my God, can somebody help me out? Damn, bro, my bad. I'm at work. All right, so Weed Dog saying tomorrow for sure. So let me hit Weed Dog right back. Okay, cool. I'll be ready. What time? What time are you talking about? No, not Flossie. Big Flossie. Thank you, Flower Bloom. God damn it. Hold on. Let me see if I can find him. Because, you know, a lot of y'all already seen this already. But press one, Sugar Free, Jehovah. Let me tell you something right now. If I ever get an interview with Sugar Free, I'm going to tell y'all. When I get on camera, y'all going to see me with a pimp shirt. And I'm going to put on a fucking wig that's so pressed. With the fucking, about the perm in it, I will go to the barbershop. You know how they, you know, the niggas that's bald and they be getting that little man weave shit. I will get a man weave for real. I will be looking like fucking Money Mike, nigga, from Next Friday, nigga, Cat Williams. What? You, nigga. Sugar Free is that dude. Y'all know I fucks with Sugar Free. Shout out to motherfucking Sugar Free. Hold on, let me hit him back real quick again. It ain't that serious, Montrez, okay? But around this time, it's cool, 6:36, so that'll be 3. So 3 p.m. your time. Okay, cool. I'll hit you up. Before. All right. Yeah, so I had to hit him back. So shout out to Weed Dog, man. Good dude too, man. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna hit him up and see if he could get Cousin Capone on three-way to talk about, you know, the shit with the Kendrick Lamar when he you know what I mean, basically channeled Nipsey Hussle. So that'll be a dope ass interview tomorrow. So I'm gonna try my best to make that happen. But shit, if I could get Sugar Free, nigga, stop. I'm telling y'all, I'm telling you, I'm gonna find a way. Nigga, I'm gonna be looking like Pastor Jeebus, for those who know how I was looking with Pastor Jeebus, goddammit, okay? But any motherfucking who, man, you know, shout out to the West Coast, man. Y'all already know how y'all give it up. Y'all know I fuck with y'all. Listen, so I just want the consensus because y'all know majority rules. Do y'all want me to continue to play this interview? Let me know because I want to touch on the Weed Dog shit too. Can I get a free on your show? I don't know what that means. All right. Shout out. Thank you, my guy, Brooklyn to Cali, for the donation. I appreciate it. So I'm consensus, what y'all want? You want me to continue to play it? A 1 and a 2 and a 3. the three. All right, I'm going to keep playing it, man. Fuck that.
And I was always inspired by that, by him. He was inspired by me for certain things. And
majority rules.
Later on in life, as life went on, I became more inspired by him and what he was doing. It went from me teaching him to him teaching me.
That's right.
You know, if you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That shit crazy.
Everybody could always learn something from somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, oh, oh,
a
good
leader was a good listener.
Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on, hold on, hold up. Hold up, hold up, hold on. I'm sorry. Thank you, Bamboos. My nigga Bamboos be in the cut, nigga. YD the Vet. Hold on. Let me give you my email right now. Right now. Or matter of fact, I give you this. This is the other, my live stream number. So text me there. Then, you know, we'll go from there. Hold on. Let me get that number. I want you to text me now. God damn it. You can get sugar free. Let me start getting, finding a wig right now. I don't have no button up. Somebody have to give me a button up. Nigga, I'm telling you. You hear me? I'm going to get some pimp lines because you can't out pimp that nigga, son. We said in that line, he had the illest verse. I'm going to play that song. I got that ADHD shit going on right now because I'm thinking of mad shit in the same process. That nigga said, how many niggas know where they bitch at right now? Never mind. Sugar to the motherfucking free is no joke, man. All right? What's that other shit? The shit with him and Snoop? What did he say? So, I forgot the name of that shit. But anyway, here's the number right here, YD the Vet. Here's the number right here, brother. Right there. Shit, if you can get Trey D, that'll be good shit. Okay? So that's the text me right there, brother. 6853. Please hit me up right there, King. Like, immediately. Nigga, you get sugar free on here, nigga. If I get sugar free on here, I ain't gonna know how to act. I don't know, but I know that shit gonna be dope. Sugar to the motherfucking free. Alright, I'm gonna play a little bit of this, man, and I'm gonna hit up Big Flossie and see what's up as well. Hopefully, I still got his number. Alright, thank you, everybody that's still in here watching. God damn it.
Yes. How many songs do you have with Nip?
I probably would have to go through the computer, bro. I know the stuff that's up. We got shit on Bullets Ain't Got No Name, 1, 2, and 3, I believe.
Right.
Crenshaw. We got a couple on. It's maybe about 10 up that's available. But if I check my computer, maybe about 20. I got some unreleased stuff too that nobody never heard. I got some stuff.
Damn. I absolutely was going to ask that at the end, so since you brought it up, you already answered the question, so yes, you have some unreleased Nipsey verses.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Are you in the future planning on releasing that or use it for one of your upcoming projects? Are you just saving it for the right time?
Most definitely, I'm going to release it. I would never hold his voice back.
But
I wanna release it and probably put it on something up and coming, like my new solo project, but I would definitely also wanna check with Sam and a couple other people to see how we're doing this music.
Right.
And how they're gonna be displaying it, like what's gonna be going on, if Rock Nation gonna be putting it out or is this all money in, or I don't want to just get to throwing out a bunch of unreleased shit.
Right.
And I ain't checked with the protocol yet. But definitely, I'm going to release it for sure.
Okay. Now, look, man, I see you got the all money in chain now. How does it feel of you getting that chain?
Amen.
That's a stays off question. How you feel about getting that chain?
Man, I was at Pal's one morning eating breakfast. And Nip called me like, bro, where you at? I'm right here on Tiles, bro. I'm on Fifth. Eating breakfast. He was like, don't move. I'm going to pull up on you. Mm-hmm. And him, Sammy, and Adam pulled up. And he told me to come outside. Call my phone to me, come outside. I came outside. They passed me the trophy. He had about 8 of them, 10 of them motherfuckers in the car. And they put up on me first, man. And you talk about turn the nigga into a baby again. Mm-hmm. It was just something I'll never forget. Bro passed me the chain and told me to keep grinding.
Right.
He got me. And, you know, for the Achilles niggas, stay focused, keep doing what you're doing. He was proud of me because I had stepped up on my craft too, and I stopped just looking around and complaining. You know,
right.
I got my ass in the corner, bought me some Pro Tools, and I got cracking, and dropped 5 projects, and bro was proud of me. I know he was. So.
That's right. More money in, man. I know that's definitely a moment to cherish.
Oh yeah.
That's something you ain't never gonna forget, man. All right, so let's take it back just a little bit. How was it growing up? I got a few more questions, not that much. How was it growing up on Crenshaw's Floss and about, you know, in the rolling 60s and, you know, the game?
I mean, as a kid, it was the ultimate. It was everything you know, once you jump off the porch into some shit and you're growing up in these hoods in L.A., as a kid, it's everything you want it to be. It's everything you ever expected and more. You know, it's entertaining, it's fast, it's, it's just, you get attracted to this LA shit fast, you know, the drugs, the guns, the shit, making all the money. I thought it was the way to go. You know, you couldn't tell me nothing else. And I was following my older cousin, too, and older niggas on the block. Right. And I came outside, I seen all the dope niggas, the rings and the chains, and, you know. I thought that shit was the way to go. Yeah.
Definitely the pussy motherfucker, okay?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. The fact of being accepted and feeling like, you know, these niggas accept me and love me and you know, this is what I'm with, this is what I'm riding with, you know. A lot of kids be looking for that anyway.
Right.
Acceptance or just friends, and they usually end up migrating with the niggas as close as the niggas on the block. So you end up repping the gang. A lot of niggas didn't make it over here, man. A lot of niggas left. A lot of niggas died. So a lot of niggas still in jail from when I started. Niggas I can remember from when I was a kid, I've never seen again.
Damn.
Never. Like, niggas is still in jail. You know? So,
we'll
a lot of tragedy.
What made you change your life around? Sorry to cut you off, Ken.
To be honest, just getting older and recognizing what was most important. You know, your homeboys or your family. Fucking a different bitch every night or making sure your kid is in bed so he can get up for school. You know? Mm-hmm. Shit like that, man. I just started looking at the shit that was most important and focusing on that. And also being aware that, you know, we don't live forever. Who wants to do the same shit for the rest of their life? I don't want to be 45, 50 years old, your daughter motherfucking tags, huh? How does that look to your kids? How does that look to your mom? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look lost. You look like somebody who never grew. You know? I just start getting more interested in, you know, things that could, things that was more positive that can give me leverage in life. I can create some more opportunity other than being around. You know, I still fuck with the homies. I still got homeboys that I got love for. The hood as a whole, I could care less.
That's right. Because at the end of the day, the hood don't love you back half of the times.
The hood don't love you back none of the time. The hood only loves you back when you're doing something for the hood.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
And the feelings can change. The feelings change. When you fuck overnight, the feelings change in a matter of hours. I've seen niggas throw picnics and buy all the liquor and buy all the weed for niggas, and he's still the nigga that get beat up after getting the motherfucking bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, they can't do nothing for niggas.
Wow.
You know, and it's just the character of niggas, man. And it's sad. Sad as fuck. You know, I used to be a kid, like, I don't see how niggas leave the hood. Niggas get money and leave the hood. I never do that shit, boy. Was I lying? I didn't know, though. I was young. But you got to grow. You got to leave this shit, or it'll take you under. It'll swallow you. Because everybody can't be you. And everybody having grown in their mind. You know, so everybody can relate to how you feeling and what you're doing. When niggas say you're doing something good, they don't like that because they can't think like that. But it's not your fault that they can't think like that. We all got the same 24 hours.
That's why they took Nipsey. Everybody got the same 24 motherfucking hours. You can put in that same hustle. You can put in that same grind and do the same studying. And have that same broad outlook on life and perspectives and, you know, how to be a good businessman and shit that niggas do. And especially what Nipsey has done. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody got the same 24 hours, baby. It's just how you know, what you do in between those 24 hours. You know what I mean? But I'm going to let it keep rocking. It's an hour interview. I forgot what part is it, but I'm gonna get to where I'm gonna play like a couple of more minutes of right here, then I'm gonna get to where you know, things started, you know, what happened to Nip, and I haven't seen this interview in basically a year, like three years. It's been 3 years. It says two, but it's really 3 years ago. You know, so I gotta find what part it is, but you know. I'm just worrying about, I don't mind playing this whole thing. It's just, you know, everybody's attention span. So I'm going to try to get to the meat and potatoes of this interview. But this is a dope, great-ass interview. And for those, and let me just say this is closing real quick. This is a serious time. So this is not here. This is not an interview to get the oohs and the ahs and the clickbait. No, this is real shit that just happened. You understand what I'm saying? So I just keep it pushing.
LA nigga will ice you for nothing just because everybody else loves you. Nigga kill you because too many people love you. And they don't get that attention. They don't know how to brighten up a room when they walk in. Or nobody gives them hugs when they come around. A nigga will hate you for simply that.
That's so fucking
sad. It's sad, man.
Love will get you killed out this motherfucker.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. You show too much love, niggas don't know how to accept that.
And I'm gonna keep saying this quote by Maino, like in the hood and shit, you know.
I fuck with Maino too.
Shout out to Maino. It's gonna be, you're gonna get love in the hood. You may get some little haters here and there, but it's just that small percentage of niggas that really, really envy you because they see you. They see you with Nip, they see how you progressing, you doing what you need to do, you know what I mean? You rubbing shoulders with certain people, you moving, you know what I'm saying?
And exactly.
Just because you're doing that, instead of them working on their own problems to fix their own shit, they'd rather take you out instead of fixing their own.
They're fixing their own shit.
So
they can sit up and worry about, I know niggas personally that sit up all day, go on Instagram and talk about the next niggas all day, what they doing and what they got. Why they like this? But not concerned about themselves or their own well-being. Shit is crazy. I can't just sit up and look at niggas all day.
For real.
How the next nigga living. I glance at that shit a little bit. I go on there. You know what I'm saying? I support the niggas I fucked with. But I can't just sit up and look at niggas balling out all day. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, how can I do that?
Right.
You know? But at the same time, I don't hate it. I love it. I've always embraced it. I always was a kid. And I see a nigga come through. And a nigga look like he's having a great day, that always inspired me.
Right.
Nigga, you in a big whip, nigga, you looking like you just passed, or nigga, you, nigga, that was always like, yeah. I was always a nigga like, yeah, I gotta get him my shit. Nah, fuck that nigga.
That's right.
He don't give me nothing. Fuck that nigga. Niggas is sad, man.
That hood mentality, man. We all hood, man. But at the end of the day, we have to understand, man. God damn, that a lot of the times the hood mentality is a one dimensional way of thinking, and it's hard for them to think outside that hood mentality. And I think that us as Bad Crew, man, we definitely gonna have to, man. We just gotta
Niggas ain't never seen nothing else. You know, niggas ain't never. But I can't really say that because I was a nigga, Nip, the first person to put me on an airplane. I've never been on an airplane in my life. Nip flew me to Texas, Miami, and New York right before he died, like the last year or two before he died. I had never been on an airplane. I need to tell the niggas that. So there was no clown. I just jumped on that one, but I told that nigga Dip, like, bro, that you like, bro, you cool? I'm like, yeah, that shit was cool. I ain't never been on a plane. Like, bro, you ain't never been on an airplane? I didn't tell that nigga to be glad and stuff. They was sleep like a motherfucker. I didn't even go to sleep because my eyes wide open. Like,
man,
was
scared to death, huh?
Man,
I know I was.
I was nervous. I was pumped, though, because I felt like I was more pumped than nervous because I felt like, nigga, it's that time. My brother Rome, he get me out here. I was ready to go. You know what I'm saying? I didn't give a fuck. So, this shit I'll never forget, man.
Absolutely, man. I see that Black Sam done sent you some, you know, some shit from Rock Nation, the Puma joint, the stuff that Nip was just putting out before he died, a design and all that you know, you just put on.
Yeah.
Shout out
my bro Black Sam, man, and Puma.
Yeah.
Rock Nation, whoever had anything to do with that shit, man. Shout out to y'all. Appreciate it. Barely. You know, appreciate bro too for keeping me in mind. And yeah, man, he looked out, sent me some pieces, some shoes. So my brother shit, I didn't have to go to the stores and shit and catch the sold out signs and shit. I heard it be doing good though. I heard it be doing great. So that's cool, man. Another goal he accomplished. And like I said, not even here. It's just fucking amazing, man. And I'm just mad that I just know that he wasn't finished. You know, people could say what they want. I don't believe that shit.
He had too much stuff already still going. He was not
too finished. Much stuff going. He wasn't finished, and his purpose wasn't finished. It's just, you know, every day the devil's working, every day, and no matter how much
you know, we're covered by God and we believe in God and we claim to have faith, we gotta also kind of walk godly. And it only take one time for you not to be, you know, around these motherfucking parties, because one time, that's all it'll take. And he let his guard down. And that's what happened. So,
yeah.
Niggas got to make sure that they walk in a certain light, man. Like I tell motherfuckers all the time, every step is precision. Every motherfucking step. Not every half a block. Because two driveways, you can smack before you even make half a block. Every motherfucking step is precision, man. You live in these hoods, with a nigga down in the ghetto, where they got all this shit fucked up for niggas. Everywhere, not just here. Where you at, everywhere. Philly, they got this shit fucked up for niggas, man. It's designed for niggas to fail. So, if you're not aware of that, and walking in a different light, then it's a good chance you're going to fucking fail, man. They got it set up. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
It's inevitable, bro. And it's still fucked up. It's still a modern-day slavery. It's still a modern-day concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put all the fucked up food in the markets. They put all the everything, the whole mosh pit, the drugs, the guns, the meat niggas is eating. The vegetables is even fucking contaminated.
That's right.
Nigga, if you go on to grocery stores where it's predominantly niggas, that shit is garbage. It's the bottom of the barrel. You know, so they trying to kill us one way or another. And niggas don't realize that niggas just think, want to sit back, they expect somebody to give them something. I don't get it.
And everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, they trying to kill us from that shit. If we think this shit is organic.
Everything from the deodorant niggas wearing to the soap niggas are using. Niggas don't know.
Right.
Nigga, these phones and TVs we looking in, all this shit is fucked up. All this shit got cancerous ass attributes to it. Every single thing we touch, eat, look at, motherfuckers don't even know that yet, though. Damn, motherfuckers don't even realize that part.
It's fucking,
a word.
Fucking air, the air we breathe, goddammit.
Yeah.
Just
the
chemtrails and shit. You know what I'm saying? Crazy.
The air. I was telling motherfuckers, niggas thought I was crazy when they dropped that motherfucking chicken sandwich. Popeye's gonna say, you see that? They made niggas pay all that money for some shit that they don't know what they put in that shit.
That's right.
Come on, bro. If they wanted to just kill 1 million niggas in the next, to 5 million niggas in the next 5 years, niggas start dropping. Niggas wouldn't even remember that chicken sandwich. Niggas just drop it, dying in their sleep. You won't even remember that fucking chicken sandwich in 5 years.
Mm.
And then, and not only that, it took what? How much they made up that shit? 2.5 million or something.
Exactly. And $23 million worth of free promotion. They didn't even have to pay for it.
Come on, man.
And then black motherfuckers out there fighting. One pulled the gun out because they didn't have no more in Houston. Motherfuckers jumping through the drive-thru window like, for real?
Yeah, that shit is like, come on, man. I ain't touched that motherfucker.
Me neither.
They don't know what's in that motherfucker. All this shit fucked up anyway. But for them to make the whole world go into motherfucking frenzy like that, they don't tell me what's in that motherfucker. But anyway, that's here and here. Niggas thought I was crazy, though, when I bring that type of shit.
That shit was a social experiment, man. And it worked.
It worked.
Now, all right, just a few more, man. Listen, now this is a sidebar because of what you said a little bit earlier, man. Nip said in a rhyme, which is one of my favorite songs too, "Tonight Is My Night." I really love that song, Tonight Is My Night. He said, cops hate and they hope my homies kill me. Yeah. Now, oh man, look, if this is pre-recorded, so you will always tell me to edit shit out, and I edit it out. So, we know the fucking police was on his heels at the fucking store. You know what I'm saying? And they try to get him out. They try to go to the property owner, tell him, like, hey, get these niggas, these jigaboos, get them out of there. Kick them out. And the dude actually sold them the whole fucking property. So that's going to make police even more mad. I told you to get these niggas out of here. You want to fucking sell them the whole fucking property? You know what I mean? And, you will always tell me, hey, just leave that out. And you got my word. I don't know, man. It's a conflict with me, man. Could it have been that bitch nigga shitty, or was all this shit orchestrated, man? So that I really wasn't gonna go there, but I don't know, man. You know, I just feel real.
I mean, honestly, bro, your guess is as good as mine, man. You know, I'm not even, to be honest, I never was one to be intertwined all in to where I'm listening to the he says and rumors and she says. You know, honestly, I still can't really put a finger on it. I don't got a clue if it was orchestrated, you know, whatever the case may be. The police behind it, the homies, I really don't know. I really don't know. That's my honest answer for that. What I do know is I don't think it was random. Let's say that. I don't think it was just a spur of the moment situation. No, I don't.
That nigga didn't do that shit.
I don't. I think it was something or somebody behind it. But like I said, who knows? I don't know. Think about it every day still to this day. And I don't got a clue. I just know it was fucked up.
Do you know that nigga, Shitty Cuz? You ever seen him before?
I've seen him a couple times, I believe. I can't really put a day or a situation with this nigga, though, that I've even seen him. Like, people tell me I know him. You know, he's like, you know him. You know, this little nigga, he's over here, he's over here. But, you know, again, like I said, I don't be keeping up with this shit like that. I mean, these little niggas now, you know, tomorrow, nigga, I don't know who you is. I ain't trying to keep you in my data bank. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about other shit. My family, my kids, my music.
Right.
So I run across a lot of niggas all day, every day. Little niggas, oh, what's up, big bro? Oh, what's up, big homie? Oh, I shake these hands every day. I meet the niggas. And I just can't really, I really don't remember that nigga like that.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I seen him a few times. I just, he didn't stick with me. Like, he wasn't nothing that I, you know,
right,
cared about knowing further than that day, for sure. So, I don't know, man. All I know is he ain't cool.
Now, we about to be out of here. Now,
everybody, please make sure y'all hit that like button and please show some love to the platform. You know what I mean? And let me just let y'all know this too. And I'm going to get back to it. You know what I mean? And it's already being worked on. Getting this interview was not free. I just want to let y'all know. So shit costs. So if y'all see my interview archives, I've done a lot of interviews, y'all. And I got to get back on it, to be honest, which is, you know, I'm about to. But, you know what I'm saying? Only thing I'm saying is if you appreciate the channel, support the channel. Okay? And I'm not going to play the violin or try to drill it in your head. The only thing I'm saying is if y'all fuck with the kid, please show some love and donate to the platform, y'all. I mean, it's, you understand what I'm saying? That's all, you know. But just show some support to the platform, because it's not easy doing all this shit either. You know what I mean? So all I'm asking, please show some support to the platform, y'all. Okay? Is that going to hurt? But let's continue. Shout out to Cousin Capone. I want to get him back on too. Again, let me shout out Cesar for making this happen. Again, a lot of the interviews that I did was not free, and this was one of them. And none of y'all helped for that to happen. I had to pull some strings and did what I had to do to make these interviews happen, to bring to y'all to watch for free for y'all enjoyment and new information. Try to appreciate that. You understand? If y'all don't, then all I ask, don't give me fake love. Just stay away. That's all. Get the fuck. I'm on. That's how. Look. Let's keep it moving, though. You know what I mean?
What you think about the murals that's all over LA and in the world and the impact that everybody is feeling, you know, how he impacted the world, man. And it's kind of crazy how once he's gone, now the world knows this. You understand what I'm saying? Like, now you want to embrace it while it's living. Give the motherfucker the flowers on his head. Don't wait till he's gone.
That was sad to me.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't really dig it because I sat with Nipsey on several occasions where I had conversations with him where he knew black people didn't respect him. Yet people didn't respect his music yet, but none of that shit. People didn't really start respecting him until they start seeing his business moves,
right,
and seeing the roles and positions he was getting himself into. But at the same time, the music around the world still wasn't respected like that. We knew that. You know what I'm saying? Nip had his own cult fan base, but as far as the world, everybody was still being modest with Nipsey music. In other words, they weren't really trying to acknowledge it. Niggas was listening, but they weren't really trying to acknowledge it. And then he left, and then it's like every verse is a scripture.
Right.
Like now niggas see I had it right. Like you said, niggas thought I had it wrong.
That's right.
You know, none of niggas know I had it right. And the mirror, I appreciate the light that they holding him in, though, that I do. You know, whether you didn't respect him when he was here, if you respect him now, right, I appreciate it. However it comes, just respect him. Because he deserves it. He deserves every bit of it. And, you know, I appreciate it. The murals, I don't think no other artist got as many murals as him.
Right.
They have history, so.
War, I just thought of that.
China shit.
Yo, he got a good point. I think that's really true. Nipsey got, I think he's the only one that has the most murals. And I mean, is he up there with Tupac? I think Nipsey's shit, even his processing, the funeral, it was bigger than any rapper. Am I tripping? Nipsey's passing was, it's no contest, because at the end of the day, you know, these people have passed and life is precious. So there's no competition or anything like that. You know what I mean? Or one is better than the other. But isn't that true? Shit is crazy. Rest in peace, Nip, man.
So, I don't think there's been more all money in tattoos or logos or that nigga face than any other artist. From what I've seen, I've just seen thousands of them. Like, that shit didn't happen with other niggas. I'm taking nothing away from nobody else's legacy or what they stood for. But everybody came in once they what he was really trying to do and what he was really about. Kids to 80-year-old women that had never heard of him before in their life. You know, they walk around here with MC Hustle t-shirts on and shit. So, I appreciate that part, man. I just pray that, you know, the world never let his name die. You know, hold him in the light, keep him in the light.
What is the thing that Nip said to you that will stick with you forever?
Wow.
Your cameraman, okay?
Hold on one second. That's a good question. Oh no, bro, it's a deep one. A lot of conversations with bro that really, so much shit he said, I appreciate it. And like, I don't know, man. Dang. I would have to think about that one for a sec, bro.
Right. Or,
so
know,
much shit.
It's a lot. So if anything, what is your most memorable moment with Nip? Besides the, you know, I know the All In Chain and things like that, but.
Oh, yeah. Most memorable moment. I think for the past or the present, like before he was on, or it don't matter.
It doesn't matter. On the funniest or the craziest thing he ever did, or whatever. What however you want to explain.
Oh shit, that nigga was crazy. Gang of shit, you wouldn't expect that nigga to do. That nigga's crazy. But I think today probably one of the most memorable would be me and him smashing through Brooklyn in the Rari.
Okay.
458, top down, past Barclays, Crown Heights, all through that motherfucker. Pulled up at Chino's, got some pizza and shit.
Okay.
Shopping across the street. I forgot the name of the little store across the street from Gino. So that little fly little shit. Shopping. But I think that might be the most memorable today. Just the fun and the joy he had that I seen in his eyes.
If y'all seen it, I think I mentioned it in here. I'm not sure, but I do remember when he was talking about when he was in Brooklyn. And they was, you know, they was really enjoying themselves. Him and Weedo actually came out to Brooklyn to do a video. And I was supposed to actually do a song with Weedo. So I still can make the, well, tomorrow definitely I'm going to have Weedo on the show. So I'm going to see if you want to do a live, most likely. If y'all want to call in and ask some questions and shit like that, you know, we can make that happen. But I do remember that it was all over Instagram and everything. And Nipsey put on his Instagram when he was by the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Him, Cousin Capone, all of them, they was chilling, man. You know what I'm saying? So I do remember that time. So, you know, I just wanted to say that.
He was very proud to be where he was in life. And he was also proud to see that I was right there with him still. And I think that made that moment. It's just a certain look he had in his eyes.
Mm.
I think that made that moment pretty special to me, for sure. There's a few others too, of course, but straight off the back, that one right there was definitely one for the trophy show. No.
Nice. Oh man, so hey, In closing, how is Black Sam and Adam? That's my final question.
They're cool. I talked to Adam yesterday, actually. They're holding up pretty good. I haven't talked to Sam in a few weeks, but from what I hear, he's coming around. He's being strong as he possibly can, you know. And I know it's hard for my brother because he catered to Nip. Nip was his sculptor as well as his brother and his everything. So, you know, he cradled Nip.
Right.
So, you know, Sam is okay. He's definitely one of the strongest men I know. So I know he'll come around. I know he'll be okay eventually. But I know that fire will never stop burning. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Adams definitely headstrong also. And, you know, a good person. And coming around. Definitely. They're cool, man. They're cool as, cool as you gonna get. Under the circumstances.
Right. And, the tower. I'm sorry. The tower that's in Nip's honor. What's your thoughts on that? That's dope, right? The tower that's gonna be built.
If everything's right about it, yeah, I believe that's dope. Hell yeah.
Do you think? Do you think things is right about it? Huh?
I don't know, bro. I'm not sure. I don't know who's behind what, or I see Lauren post something about it, so I'm thinking it's in the right light, you know. But other than that, I really don't know, man.
For those who's out there in LA, right? And then I should hit up Slauson Girl too. I think I'm gonna hit up. Shout out to Slauson Girl too. Salute to her. She's doing some good things out there in LA, man. Much love to that queen right there. What is the update on the tower? You know what I mean? Nipsey's Tower, meaning like the, I guess they're supposed to build like a hotel or something like that on top of that property. So is that still in construction? You know what I'm saying? And I remember I was corresponding with somebody that hit me up, especially when that trademark, the Marathon trademark and stuff, you know, that person told me they was going to hit up Black Sam, and they really hit up Black Sam, and that's when Black Sam found out that, Crip LLC is trying to basically trademark the Marathon Continue shit, you know what I mean? And then that next day, he actually filed, and I think he won, or something to the fact that I think Crips LLC or whatever still like owns something a piece of Nipsey's trademark and shit like that, you know what I mean? So I, like I said, when I do this little mini thing, everything is gonna be covered. Y'all know how I give it up. So when I lock in on shit like that, I'm gonna give y'all intricate details. You understand what I'm saying? So, but I definitely wanna know what's up with that. You know what I mean? But let's continue. This is almost over. This is about to be over now.
I really don't know. I don't ask too many questions. I just kind of just go off what I see. And I try not to be too inquisitive with shit that, you know?
Right.
They really don't got nothing to do with me. I try to stay my ass out of the way, stay out of people's face. You know what I'm saying? And do what I got to do to prosper and level up. I can't afford to waste time bothering other people. You know?
Right.
I just kind of wait for shit to unfold and go off of that. Just go off of what I say.
I would just say this. You don't have to say nothing. And then we definitely, our only thing I can say is I feel it's a lot of fishy shit going on. And I just hope, you know, we already know Black Sam and Nip was definitely smart businessmen. very smart businessmen, and I just hope the business partner that they had business dealing with and then doing the tower and everything, I'm pretty sure, I'm very confident that Black Sam and Nip definitely made sure that the shit that they had planned, they're going to reap some benefits from that. So I really, truly, hopefully, believe in my heart, Black Sam and Nip was on that before Nip's early demise. So I still feel shit is real fucking fishy. I can't really put my fucking hand on it. And
I think one thing I can tell you, if it is anything fishy or if it is anything corrupted in a situation, it won't get past Black Sam, for sure. So as long as Sam is in control of everything that needs to be, they should be okay. And I have faith that they will. And I have faith in my brother because I know him. And like I said, he's also one of the most efficient people I know. Mm. And Sam ain't never been for nothing sloppy and no bullshit.
Absolutely. Now, man, I want to thank you, man. Where can the people find you on social media and all your projects you have coming up and which you already have out, things of that nature?
You can follow me at I Am Cuzzy Capone on Instagram, Facebook, and Cuzzy Capone. I'm hardly ever on it, but I'm going to get back to the Facebook thing too. Twitter at Cuzzy Capone. All my projects should be everywhere digitally.
Okay.
Sites and the pay sites, American Hustler 1, 2, and 3.